Welcome to another episode of Praat Nederlands met me, the podcast for international families raising multilingual children. You probably recognize this question. How do we keep our child connected to their Dutch language and identity? In this podcast, we share real stories from families who are navigating that journey. Today, I'm speaking with Natalie, who will share her experience raising a multilingual child. Natalie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let's start at the beginning. Where was your family living when your daughter was born?
Okay, so we were living in Kenya, in Nairobi.
Okay.
I moved there when I was 22. So when she was born 8 years later, I was still there.
Yeah, okay. So she's born there in Kenya.
Wow. Yeah, she was born in Kenya. So was my son in 2021.
Okay.
I have two children.
Well, just in short, how did you end up in Kenya with 22 years?
Yes, I was a music student here in the Netherlands, and I was curious about exploring the world. First of all, I had already spent a year traveling as a late after high school. I felt like a lot of my classmates were really interested in becoming very famous themselves. And that bored me, to be really quite frank. I wanted to do something for the world. And so I decided, as the only person in my whole school, to do my internship abroad. And not just abroad, I actually ended up in Kenya because I wanted something completely different and I wanted to explore. And so I looked for connections, and I found through one of my teachers, I found a connection with the Festival Mundial, which was the biggest world music festival in Tilburg.
Yes.
And that's how I ended up in Nairobi.
Wow.
In 2000.
Yes. Okay. And so you were on your own. What languages did you speak at that moment?
Right. At that moment, I spoke Dutch. And of course, my English was a decent secondary school English, but nothing special. And the Kenyan English was a bit of an adjustment. You might hear it now in my mouth because I lived there for almost 20 years. But in the beginning, I spoke very Dutch English, I think.
Yeah.
And it was decent. And of course, French and German, because, you know, I had learned that at school. My dad is a linguistics professor, so language has always played a part in my life.
Yeah.
But nothing special.
You say nothing special, but it's quite a lot. When your first child was born, what language did you speak to her?
Her, yes. Before my first child was born, I got a cat, and I noticed that I started speaking Dutch.
Oh, yes. Oh, really?
At home, I would speak a mix of English and Swahili because I learned Swahili as I lived in Kenya. By the time my daughter was born, I spoke mostly English and Swahili in my professional life and home life as well. It was a gut feeling. I couldn't speak English or Swahili with her. I had to speak Dutch.
All right. And what was your gut feeling with your daughter?
It was Dutch. And I also did a little bit of research before she was born, because I really, my wish for her was to be comfortable in all the languages of her parents and grandparents. So on my list were Dutch, English, and Swahili. I've been very consistent from the beginning speaking Dutch with her. So we ended up with a toddler who would be speaking Swahili with her dad and the nanny. And she would, or actually Swahili with her dad and the nanny, English with her friends, and Dutch with me. So she could switch. She would pick up the phone with me and start speaking Dutch, and then shout something in Swahili to the nanny or her dad, and something else in English to her friend.
Amazing, amazing. So your daughter grew up multilingual already. What do you think that made it so easy and so naturally, and how did it develop over time?
I mean, for me, it's I try to stick to the rule of one person, one language.
Yes.
So that is what I also read before she was born, when I was pregnant. And so even when she was in my stomach, I was very aware of, you know, singing songs in Dutch to her. I'm a singer, so.
Okay, yeah, right.
Singing and language are quite closely related. I've always loved singing in different languages, even if I don't speak them, up to date, actually. So I would sing in Dutch with her, to her and with her later on. But the one person, one language was really of great help.
Yes.
And I noticed also later on when I started making friends, of course, with other moms, that that was the best kind of advice that I could share with them, because I would notice them switching. And if you switch, then the kid also gets confused. I'm not perfect. And especially as, you know, my kids grew and we started having, she started having multiple friendships, and I would sometimes ended up speaking English with her as well.
Yes.
Especially when we are at like maybe one of her friends' houses, and I would speak English with the parents, and then I would speak English with her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I often hear this, and it's quite normal. But then when you're in the surrounding that the language switch, as she is so multilingual already, it will not confuse her, no.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, of course, now that we are back here, I do notice my own Dutch has changed quite a bit and has declined.
Okay.
I'm comfortable in English, especially when I speak about work. And I know my English grammar is not perfect, but it somehow comes out faster.
Mm-hmm.
So my process in professional situations is often in English,
yeah,
and not in Dutch. And even with friends, some conversations I can just not have in Dutch. I try to,
yeah.
But I find myself throwing in some Dutch words, some English words. Sorry,
It's a mix.
The funniest thing is that my kid calls me out. You know, my daughter's like, "Mom, you're telling me not to languages. What did you just say? That doesn't even make sense."
Funny. So looking back, were there challenges or just all natural flow?
I mean, for me, I think back in Kenya, so my daughter went to an English speaking school until she was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Then she switched to the Dutch school.
Mm-hmm.
And there we found that because she had learned her basic phonetics in English, there was a bit of a minute to switch, although she read very quickly in Dutch, strangely, within a few weeks. I also think the teachers at the Dutch school in Nairobi are just brilliant.
Okay.
They know how to deal with multilingual children. They have multilingual children themselves, and they're really, it's a really incredible primary school in Nairobi. I felt like she needed a few years to catch up. So especially after the switch into the Dutch system, we saw her CITO, her test results, going up steadily in language, especially begrijpend lezen, which is like reading comprehension.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, we found that maybe she had a bit of a limited understanding of certain words because of the lack of exposure to Dutch every day for hours a day. So that means, you know, comprehension levels are a little bit different, but she was able to catch up over the years that followed. And right now she's in group 8, which is the final year of primary school here. And she did as well as her Dutch classmates.
Amazing. So, it's great. Yeah, she picked it up. But it's great also that the teachers in Nairobi were so supportive. It's not always the case.
I think I always say, and I never thought I was going back to the Netherlands. Like, I had a really nice life in Kenya, and I had an incredible business, and I guess professionally I was really, I did everything that I could have ever dreamt of. Like, I achieved it, I was in Nairobi, right? So I never thought I would move back to the Netherlands, literally. But I still made the decision to put her in the Dutch system primary school in Nairobi, and that was the best decision that I have ever made as a mom for her. I think it's also only fair because she is both Kenyan and Dutch. Her father is Kenyan and Dutch. And so it was more than just, you know, the language thing. It's also a bit of a part of the culture. And I think it's only fair for her to know both of her heritage.
Almost like two identities, language identities. So, and how did she experience the moves? Because you moved in Kenya and you moved back to the Netherlands.
Yeah, in Kenya we moved 100 times because of different reasons. That was never really a big problem because she was always, so she only went to two primary schools, the British system until she was six, and then from group three onwards, which is the year we start reading, the Dutch system. So even though we moved houses, she wouldn't have to move schools. So that was quite stable for her.
Yeah.
She really wanted to move to the Netherlands. My daughter has been curious since she could speak about living here.
Yes.
I guess also because she would only come here in holidays. So everything was fun.
It's always fun. Yeah.
It doesn't rain as much in summer. So but she's adjusted really well. She loves it here. She's 11. We moved here after she had just turned 11. She's about to turn 12 now. And the amount of freedom that she gets here and riding her bike to school, just hanging out on the street with her friends. In Kenya, that was possible because we lived in a kind of a gated community. We lived in a very local way the last few years, especially where we had compound with other Kenyan kids. So they were free within the compound and it was spacious. But it wasn't the same as here where, you know, my daughter can take her bike and go to town.
Yeah,
And
that's different.
Hang out.
Yeah.
And she plays hockey. And in Nairobi, there was no hockey team that she could join. So she does musical theater lessons. In Nairobi, she had singing lessons with me, but I'm her mother, you know?
Yeah, that's different.
So she's really happy here. It was a bit harder on my son, who's four.
Yeah.
And for a good 6 months, he kept on saying he wants to go back to Nairobi. Mm. He misses dogs and his friends. You know, the dogs were like, we had two little dogs and we had to give them to another family. And that was really tough.
Yes.
But now, recently, he's been saying that he loves it here.
Wow.
But he is another one because he stopped speaking Swahili. So before we left, my daughter's Swahili had kind of disappeared. Like, her Swahili was very, she understood it, you know, in the end, but she wouldn't really speak it. But my son was fluent. And the minute we stepped onto the plane, I guess it's almost like a refusal. I see it as maybe a way to deal with the loss of Kenya.
Yes.
And so he refuses to speak Swahili, even when we speak to our old nanny, which, you know, we speak to her regularly.
Yeah.
But he refuses to speak Swahili completely. My daughter is doing Swahili lessons online at the moment. And my son just, he doesn't even say hello anymore.
Okay.
In Swahili.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
When his dad tries, nothing. He'll reply in Dutch or in English.
Yeah, the best advice I can give you, just keep on going. Even he answers in Dutch or English, no problem, but he keeps on hearing it. So maybe there comes a time that he will start again. So how did you, just for other families, what did you do more than only speaking to them?
Yeah, definitely. So one of my fondest memories as a child was that my dad would read to me every single night until I was about 14 years old. Go out on the weekend to the bar, come home, and my dad would read me a story. But like, that sounds a bit ridiculous, but it is like that.
Yes.
And the last books he was reading to me was like Greek mythology and the conversations between Plato and Socrates. Like, that was my dad. So I read to my children, and especially to the little right now, every single day. Because it's for me, it's more than just language. It's not really only just about language. It's about sharing stories.
Yes.
And these stories also represent a part of my childhood and of culture. And so for me, that's a really important part of our day. And both my kids love it. And now I see my daughter, who's, you know, also big enough to read herself. She really enjoys it when she you know, spends time with her little brother, and I read to him. And at some point, she was reading to me as well. So we turned it around.
Yes.
Learned how to, just to create that moment before going to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have been able to foster such a love of reading, you know, with my daughter, especially because my son can't read yet. She reads every night. But sometimes I need to remind her too.
Yeah.
So, you know, once in a while, I kind of kick myself in the butt and take out my e-reader and say, okay, I'm reading a book too, look.
Yeah.
Also, that helps because, again, like as much as I try to be a great example, I also spend too much time on my phone.
Yeah. Don't we all? Yeah. Yeah, like you said, language is not only about communication. It's also about identity, belonging, stories. I'm wondering, your son may be too young to notice it, but your daughter, does she feel Dutch, international, Kenyan, or mix? Or?
Yeah, it's a conversation we have quite a lot, because especially after coming back here, we ended up living in Oostgeest. Okay. Which is a very white village. My kids are mixed, and they are not white. So, yeah, we speak a lot about identity, and we had to look for a secondary school. And we looked at a few schools, and she ended up feeling most at home at a school that has an international department. So even though she's studying in the Dutch department, for her, she felt at home there because... For example, when we entered the school as a family and we look the way we look, my partner is black, I'm white, the kids are mixed. We walked in and the first question that was there was, hey, do you speak Dutch or English? And we were like, whoa, that's so nice.
Great. Yeah.
From where? What is that? In Africa? And, you know, those kind of, and to be honest, that's really what happened.
Yeah.
Or the only family of color in the room. It's like not always so comfortable for different reasons. But like in the school that she picked, it's very, everybody has an international story. And if you don't, then you're used to it kind of thing. So that's the school that she picked. And yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but understandable. Very understandable. Many parents that are listening are currently navigating in a kind of the same situation, and some of them worry that that the children might lose Dutch completely. If you could give one advice to parents raising multilingual children, what would it be?
I mean, it's what I said earlier, one person, one language. That really helps. And sometimes it creates, you know, difficult situations, especially if you and your partner don't speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had conversations. We've spoken about that, me and my partner, about, you know, the importance of them speaking Dutch. And since in Kenya, I was the only person speaking Dutch in their lives, at home at least, you know, especially before they went to school. We just settled on that it's more important for them to get the gift of the Dutch language than for everybody to understand every single thing that's being said. And at the same time, you know, we also, as adults, we can also learn our parents' language. So even though it's not fluent, my partner understands quite a bit of Dutch and he's studying it now. Okay, now that we live here, obviously, it's also needed. But he picked it up as well along the way. But yeah, one person, one language.
And what would you tell parents that feel that it might be too late already?
I think it's never too late. It's hard. I find it difficult to force my kids. Mm-hmm. I cannot force my little one to speak Swahili. Mm-hmm. And I think what you said, like just keep exposing him, that's my strategy. So when my daughter does her Swahili lesson here, because it's online, we make sure that it's on speaker and you can hear it, and that it's next to her making a drawing or something, you know.
Yeah. Oh, great.
It's at least close to it, because that's it. And then, of course, I am a musician, I'm a singer, and I work with the voice, songs, music, especially with teenagers. That really helps.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice. Yes. Yeah.
Because when you sing, you don't, I mean, I sing in Kikuyu, which is a local Kenyan language. I sing in Lingala, which is a Congolese language. I sing in French. It really doesn't matter. I even sang in Chinese once.
Wow.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was an interesting. But I feel like when you sing in different languages, your tongue, which is a muscle, it kind of challenged to fold itself in different positions to get the words out. And so that might just be a starting point, even if you don't understand exactly, what the singer is saying. And there are some really cool Dutch artists, especially for the people who've been away for, a while. The Dutch music industry has diversified quite a bit. So there's Dutch rap, there's Dutch hip hop, there's Dutch soul and R&B. So yeah, I'm sure you can find something that your older kid like.
Yeah. No, thank you so much. Is there something I forgot to ask you, Natalie? Or that you just want to share?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about, there's actually something that I would like to share. So when we moved back here, our housing fell through just before we left.
Yes.
And we had found a primary school in another town, and I spoke to them at length about what would happen with my daughter's advice. I don't know, in group age.
Yeah. Yeah, these days they call it the Doorstroom kids, and then comes the final advice, for a secondary school.
For secondary school. So we had made a very clear agreement with them that they would follow what the Kenyan primary school, which is a Dutch primary school, mind you, would say. So we had that clearly. And so that housing fell through. Long story short, we ended up here. And because of the rush, I did not have the intro conversation with the primary school here. Okay. And then what ended up happening is that they gave her a lower advice initially than the Kenyan school did. And she was absolutely devastated.
Yes.
Because my daughter worked very hard for the advice that she got in Nairobi. In Nairobi, they had a better understanding of multilingual advantages and also challenges with that. And here, they just looked at the test results after three months, and they gave her a lower advice, and I was really angry. They corrected it because, I don't know, they corrected it, I guess, because my daughter really showed them what she's worth, but also because I stood my ground,
yes,
and I sent the messages and pushed a bit. But I would really advise you, if you come back at that time, you know your child, make a very clear agreement with the school of your expectation, especially around that school advice, because in the Netherlands, kids with a migration background still get a different and often lower school advice, especially kids of color. So be mindful of that. And of course, we can say that that's not what happened, but all these things we never know. But I do think it's really important to just have that clear understanding before you decide on a school, so that you can avoid this.
I think that's not a great story, but a good story to hear and a good story to tell. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today. It's always inspiring to hear how families create their own path when raising multilingual children. And to everyone listening, if you would like more tips on helping your child maintain Dutch while living abroad, you can find resources and support through Dutch for Children. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share it with other international families. For now, thank you for listening to Praat Nederlands met me.